Lex, you're very combative today.
He's very mad.
I'm grumpy at Xcode today, Dan. It's
oh, fine. Wow. Fine. What are you like, Casey List now or
Can
something?
You believe this guy? Wait,
is this not Accidental Tech Podcast? I thought that's the one I was on. Is that
not this? Oh, no. We're not famous enough.
Are you kidding? We don't charge enough for our shirts.
The downside to ATP shirt pricing is you have to be a host of ATP to afford those shirts. Boom. Yeah, burnt ATP.
And that's our show. Somewhere
out there, they're like, did anybody hear something? I felt like I just heard some fly buzzing in my ear. we can joke about this because it's us.
Because we love those guys.
We do love those guys. True. You know, I would take a fraction of their audience. We'd take half their audience. There we go. We'd all still be doing fine, is my point.
I think we should just drive up to ATP, knock them over, and then grab some of their audience and run away.
You're showing a fundamental misunderstanding of podcast.
Which explains this show.
And physics and lots of other things.
So you guys buying an AI pen?
I was gonna buy this new cheap one that's coming out in August, but you talked me out of it.
I shat all over it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So the AI pins.
Yeah.
So Humane, is that the company?
They
got reviewed poorly.
Just a bit. Marcus Brownlee said it was the worst product he's ever reviewed.
It's funny. I saw
apparently made some people mad.
Yeah. Like, so this is a weird thing because I saw a story about it, and then I saw people talking about it. Mastodon. The story was like, oh, people accused of being unethical. I was like, so I saw the headline, and they got me right. I clicked on it, and it's like, oh, it's random people on Twitter saying he shouldn't say mean things about this product.
Yeah.
I was like,
I mean, I guess this guy is somebody who Daniel Vassallo. We used to work at some company called Amazon. I don't know, but so he said, I find it distasteful, almost unethical to say this when you have 18 million subscribers. So I love the
everything about
hard to explain
that
why,
sentence.
But with the great reach comes great responsibility. Potentially killing someone else's nascent project reeks of carelessness. First, do no harm, because Marcus is apparently a doctor.
None of those. Also, my best friend, who is an ER doctor, is frequently telling me, he's like, I never took that oath. It doesn't actually say that anywhere.
And Dan's friend, the doctor, does plenty of harm. I know that guy.
Mm-hmm. He does actually do a lot of... No, he's a very dangerous man. I find everything about that tweet to be incomprehensible, I guess.
I think it's just
it doesn't really make any sense in the way that
I went and looked at
there.
this guy's Twitter feed just because I was curious about him. And it's not like
website.
He doesn't seem like he certainly seems like a guy I don't want to hang out with, but he doesn't seem like, you know, he talks smack about Musk and like he doesn't, because I sort of thought, is this guy, what is the deal with this guy? Is this guy like crazy ass libertarian or what?
His site is about like smaller venture. Not to say the Humane Pin qualifies as a small ventures, but like something about like, you know, building your small business or whatever, rather than like the big giants of the tech industry, whatever. It's like, okay. And there's a point. And that intersects with something Jason wrote on Six Colors last week about how one of the problems with having all these huge companies in tech is that the disruptive influences, it's really hard to be a disruptive influence and to be an upstart when the odds are so stacked against you because you don't have an entryway into, say, iOS or Android or whatever. And like from that standpoint, I get it. Like it sucks that disruption at this point is very difficult. But at the same time, if you make a bad product, you made a bad product. And if you shipped it as your product, then you got to take your lumps, right? Like, you can't get mad about them killing, getting badly reviewing a product for what it is today.
It's crazy.
Verge always covers this well by saying, like, we don't review products based on promised software updates, right? That's nonsensical.
Yeah. Which was also Pink Floyd's original lyrics. Go back and rewind it. You'll see what I mean. But I remember this, honestly, as one of the... the hardest things about working for Macworld was that you become friends with more and more developers, and then sometimes you're reviewing their apps, and sometimes their apps aren't that good.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I say this as a guy who, like I said, is mad at Xcode right now. But if you're gonna just butter up stuff or not say anything negative, then there's no point to the review.
Yeah.
Like, I think that guy is a joke, and I'm already mad that we've given him as much attention as we have. But and especially like when you look at the fact that Marquez's review wasn't isolated.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not like he's the only
everybody
one.
Everybody hated it.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean I can understand, as I put on Mason, like I get the idea of like there's a certain degree of the YouTube algorithm by saying this is the worst ever, right? Like it's the hyperbolic nature of it. But like that's also always been true with clickbait headlines and sensational tabloid headlines and whatever, right? Like there's nothing new.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but that game is not new.
No.
I also was amused today. We record on Tuesdays most of the time, and T-Mobile customers have this app, T-Mobile Tuesdays, where they give you free things on Tuesdays. It used to be good and now sucks. It used to be like, hey, you can get
much like T-Mobile.
I like T-Mobile still. But they used to have like cooler things, and now it's almost always dumb stuff. But it's often sponsored, or probably always sponsored. And today in the T-Life app, you could enter for a chance to win a Fisker Ocean One EV.
Speaking of worst products ever,
giving them away. So,
I saw the only one. That's what it was.
I just want to say that Lex's app is the worst app I've ever used because it doesn't even compile.
Wow. It does compile. Fuck you. I just can't get logging into work. Yet. Give it time.
It's funny they mentioned T-Mobile because the other day I got my like bill from AT&T, and I noticed it was higher than I remembered, and I went to the AT&T website and they have this very handy link. It's like, oh, see what changed in your bill this month, which they always have, like, here's why, you know, these fees were higher, or you would pay this one-time fee for this or whatever. And in this case it was like, oh, here's the problem, all your plans, all lines went up by 99 cents. And I was like, yes, but why? And it's like, nope, that they're just higher now.
That's
and
it.
I looked at it like, yeah, it turned out they had raised the prices by like $1 a line back in June or March or something. And I just missed it. I was like, technically, I guess you probably should have emailed me and let me know this. Possibly you did, and it was buried in like a giant email with other stuff in it, or got filtered to the spam or something like that. But it still made me a little bit eye-rolly, and I just like, I don't know. I don't even know what to do. I'm not going to switch. I feel too locked in some ways because we've got like a 4-line family plan, and it's just like, it's just too much work. I can't change everybody's phones. So suck it up, I guess.
Man, I had a miserable experience canceling my home security thing from, I'm just going to say ADT because fuck those guys.
They're not sponsoring us.
Oh my God. It was, I had not,
awful,
I mean, I had never had,
that's what it
I always
for.
Had local,
unethical for you to
I never had,
them.
I mean, I didn't even have this trouble getting rid of Comcast, but like, they would not shut up. They kept coming back with lower and lower, like, prices, you know, temporary prices, I'm sure, but like, it was just like,
nice house.
No,
shame if something were to happen.
Yeah, right.
To
I mean, it was like, it took me like 4 times of saying no. I mean, and she would go away for 5 minutes. And I would say, just cancel my service. And she'd say, okay, I'll be right back. Like, and then come back with another great deal. I'm like, that's not what I wanted. I wanted you to cancel the service. But finally got there.
Ridiculous. I actually just posted about this past week. But, you know, I use subscription vitamins. Not an ad, but I use them from Ritual. And if you're going to sign up for Ritual, tell me because I'll give you a referral code. But every month I go to cancel it because the vitamins are, you know, I think they're good vitamins, but they're overpriced. And every month when I go to cancel it, you know, it's got one of those forms. Why are you canceling? And I always click because you're too expensive. And they're like, what if we gave you $20 off this month? And I'm like, well, that would make it reasonable. And then I do that. And then every month they ship my vitamins and I go back to the website and say, I'm canceling. And they say, why? And I say, you're too expensive. And they say, what if you give me? I do it every month. I've done it now. I just hit my year-long anniversary of getting $20 off every month.
Congratulations.
I've made $240 as far as I can.
Happy anniversary.
It is interesting what that, like economically, what that tells you about the business, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, if you ever subscribe, like, if you ever get clothes from someplace, like, literally almost any place, you get on their mailing list, and then, I mean, like, there are sales every week. I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
The biggest thing
there are constantly
sales. Drive home,
buying
what
clothes,
an asshole you were for paying full price.
Buying clothes at full price is a sucker's game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you should be able to get them at, like, 40 to 60% off.
Yeah, given how much of the, you know, stuff we've been talking about in the last year or two is like inflation and the cost of goods rising. It does make you stop and think every once in a while, but like, but is it possible that people are just charging way more because they feel like they can get away with it? And then, you know, running the discounts because there's just eating into like an already huge margin, basically.
Yeah. That's probably it.
Yeah. Probably.
So we talked about Humane. We didn't get to the other one, though, did we?
Right. So the other one is Limitless.
Yeah.
And it comes from the company
TV
that used to make,
by the way,
Rewind. I liked that show. Rewind was, and it still exists, but they're no longer going to really work on it. But Rewind was an app that, like,
that's not what they said. But okay, go ahead.
they didn't say it's still going
to
exist.
They said it is going to exist, but they said that they were going to continue to work. I thought they were going to continue to work on it, but anyway, I thought they have no plans to stop working on.
Oh, I thought they said they have no plans to shut down Rewind.
Oh, well, maybe that, okay. Maybe
their attention is going to Limitless, okay. but Rewind like was clever. Is clever. It looked at your screen at all times, and their real brilliance was in compression, because they would record your screen at all times, basically, and OCR and all those things. So if you're like, man, I know I was in a Slack conversation where we talked about this, but you didn't know if it was Slack or iMessage or email or whatever, you could just type it in the search and it was like, oh, here's when that phrase was on your screen. Smart, clever. Then it would also record all of your video chats. If you didn't use headphones, and it didn't require that you told anybody, because it wasn't doing like what all the other apps do that record things in Zoom, which is say, hey, there's somebody recording this. And instead they just would secretly record it. That's a little creepy.
Yeah. That's not okay.
And so, their new thing is basically all of that, but also with a wearable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't know the backstory of these people, but, and it seemed, was like, I wonder how all this is going to work, because they say that when someone starts talking, they're not recording them, and then you're supposed to ask them for permission to record them, and then it starts recording them once they say, yeah, sure, go ahead and record me in perpetuity. I wonder what that buffering, how that buffering works. I would like to know. And I think you pointed out that that consent thing is off by default.
Which, it's not live yet, and when it goes live, they say it'll be off by default.
Yeah, which is illegal in Washington State. You cannot. It is a consent state, so you can't.
I believe Massachusetts is as well. So.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see how that works. And then they don't do. I mean, they mention that on device stuff creates lots of constraints, and so we do everything in the cloud, but we have this completely secure cloud system, so everything's fine. And they also say that they go so far as to say that it cannot be subpoenaed because they do not have access to the cloud system. I mean, that's good in theory if it works that way. But you know, they also make the point of saying that they're going to be HIPAA compliant, and it's certainly not like anybody's ever gotten a notification from a health provider saying that they were hacked and oops, sorry, all of your data has been stolen.
Have they said what it means that they are HIPAA compliant, or is that just a thing that they have thrown out as a descriptor?
It was in the video. I mean, it is a bullet point. It is a bullet point in the video.
Yeah. HIPAA is a pain in the ass to comply with. So I'd be very curious to know how they plan on doing that. Right. Not say it's impossible, just say it seems difficult based on the premise of this device.
Yeah.
I just always remember the story of my cousin having to go to the ER, and I dropped her off. She was in college in Boston, and I would, you know, occasionally have to run her places. And her doctor came in. I was like waiting with her, and her doctor came in, and he was wearing, as part of a pilot program, a Google Glass. And was like, "Hi, I'll be your doctor." And she's like, "No, you will not take that off." She's like, "Well, it's part of it. Nope, find somebody else." And I was like, "Yeah, you know why? Because it's creepy and weird."
Yeah. And that's interesting because I think you would have to sign something, so you can't just say. I mean, I don't think you can just say, "Yeah, go ahead and record me." I think you have to.
I think
sign
it probably
release,
depends
right?
on the state.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and sometimes they're buried, like in a hospital or something, it may be buried under a lot of other paperwork that you've signed, right? Like,
yeah,
it may be baked in because when you're coming in the door, you're filling out a ton of paperwork. Not so necessarily every time one engages in conversation with, say, John Moltz wearing one of these pins. John does like walk around holding out release forms.
Well, at least it's cheaper, in which they, you know, make a jab at Humane in the video by
Yeah.
Showing the price is $6.99 and the guy goes, oh, that doesn't look right. Let's get rid of the six.
Fundamentally, I'm also not sure what the utility of this is.
I see the utility. I mean, you know, it's like having someone looking over your shoulder
but,
all
but,
day.
But what happened, like, what do you do with this information?
I said that twice and I still couldn't say the word shoulder. There we go.
You nailed that.
Thanks. It's the same thing for the meeting notes, right? I mean, it's the same thing that it summarizes, you know, they have those, Zoom's got those, right? Where it summarizes your Zoom call and gives you like a collection of notes on what just happened. It does it for your
day. Is for everything?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to envision how I would use this.
I think it's more for, you know, business dicks.
It demos really well. I don't know how useful it is in real life, even for business dicks. Because, like, almost nobody that I
Please
know
do not
like,
make that the title.
I wrote it down.
I know you did, because I can hear you thinking.
We can
I ran you back in my AI
some of that out.
But the, like, I see those various Zoom integrated typing, transcribing things show up in multiple meetings that I go to. But it's never like the executives or leadership of the meeting. It's always the developer. It's always an engineer who has got it set up. And then, like, as far as I know, nobody ever uses those notes again because they're impressive. But like, it's, I don't know. It's useful for a very specific. It's not for business dicks. It's for nerd dicks. Different kind of dick altogether.
Right. Because like I don't see myself being like I need the device that was like. Like when I walk into the room and think to myself, what did I come in here for? Like, I need the device that remembers that for me somehow. Yeah. Like,
well, I mean, Belushi,
what was I doing
Belushi
a second
in the,
ago
in
that
the
I got
chat
distracted?
Here says, compares it to a Chappelle Show bit about a personal court reporter. And actually, I was thinking that, like, in the legal profession, it might come in handy, depending
yeah,
on what side you're on.
At the same time, it does. Yeah, it feels like huge liability, possibly. So probably not a thing you want. It's like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I have a my wife worked for a while at the Boston City government, and one of the things there was like never put anything in writing, right?
Oh yeah,
you do anything, you make phone calls, right? Because it's not subpoenable, and or foiable or any of that, and like all of a sudden, if you have audio recordings of everything, it kind of removes a lot of options.
Yeah,
so I can feel like a lot of cases where people would be like, "This is literally the worst thing that could happen to us in our business."
Yeah,
so I guess I feel like I am not bullish on this device's chances. It seems like maybe a small percentage of things, but it does speak to a larger trend like this in the Humane Pin and other stuff of this idea of wearable devices that have some sort of AI component and don't require you to interact with a screen. Like, I think we're probably going somewhere like that in the long term, but, you know, I don't think any of these devices have quite managed to deliver on the promises.
I don't think people want, I have a hard time believing people end up wearing these things, but I do see some of these technologies being put into Apple Watches or, you know, smartphones or whatever existing technology there is. I don't think this is going to replace the smartphone.
Oh, I don't think necessarily replace, but like there are times when you don't want to use a phone, and this is where interesting things like this might come into play in terms of like, and it's got to require, it requires all the technology getting so much better, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same sort of thing with like Apple
glasses.
But
you don't want to have these like, conversations yeah, that, with these but... things out in the, you know, like you don't want to be talking to this and having it talk to you. It's going to get into like a smartphone and it's going to talk to you through your headphones.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that's the same thing with these types of things in the end is like it'll pair with your headphones and relay information there or you know, shoot a laser onto your hand and burn your hand off or something. I don't know.
All of which sounds fun to me, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I thought let me put it this way. The laser display in the Humane Pin is such a cool idea that looks like it is totally garbage today.
Yeah,
but like in actual usage.
This wasn't one where you were like, this looks cool when I'm seeing it. It seemed like a cool concept that would be garbage long before they released it.
Oh, I agree. I'm not disputing that whatsoever. Like, I love that they actually made that into a thing. Like, I love that it got all the way through the design process and all the way into production, and they made it. And everyone's like, this is exactly as terrible as it sounded in the first place. But, like, the idea was so cool. Like, oh, you just put your hand out, there's a screen. Like, I love that idea. I think, I don't think it's usable in the least, but it's something, yeah. It is the awesome kind of futuristic thing that you would see in a movie. And if you thought too hard about, you'd be like, nobody should ever make this.
Yeah, right.
But they did.
And it worked out really well.
if you want to make, you know, let's see. Oh, nope, that doesn't help.
You want
to
try again?
I'm trying to get to an ad read. Here we go. Yeah.
We don't have an ad.
Listen, we do.
Yes, we do.
Listen,
we always have an ad.
We need to make enough money to buy all of these terrible accessories that we don't want or need in our lives. And the only way we can do that is if you support us by going to prime.reboundcast.com. That's prime.reboundcast.com. We get to have bonus episodes every single week. We've never missed a one. Even when we didn't have an episode, we had a bonus episode.
Could you run down the cost? How many Rebound Prime subscriptions would it take to just get one Vision Pro amongst all of three of us?
I don't want to go deep on Vision Pro because I don't feel like I can express expertise in it, but it was interesting to see Marco, our friend from Accidental Tech Podcast, if you're familiar with that show. He was talking on Mastodon about how underbaked it is, I guess. Like how it doesn't seem like it's a super viable platform or device. And I thought that was interesting. But many people would have to sign up.
My rough back of the envelope calculations, about 700 people.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Which is, I think, something like three times maybe the number of members we had.
Basically, we have to slightly more than double what we have. Yeah, you should do that. You get bonus episodes, you get bootlegs, you can listen live while we record, you can join our member Discord, and you get to submit questions that we answer on this podcast. Questions like this one from Kelly F. I'm going to take some joy in April 15, persons plus accountability, but given you're self-employed and taxes are a bit more tricky, are you looking forward to it? And if you get something back, are you going to splurge on some tech like a laser printer toner? Because honestly, how much would you get back?
Well, here's the dirty... I don't know about you guys, but here's the dirty secret to me of being self-employed, which is you get money back. And where does that money go? I don't know about you guys.
Next year's taxes.
Next year's taxes is correct.
Yes. Yeah. I have an accountant now, thank God.
Same. Yes.
And God bless her. She was, emailing me at she's on the East Coast and was emailing me at 8 o'clock last night. I was notoriously bad about estimating my taxes, and so I quite frequently I would either have to pay a lot, like quite a lot, or I would get like a ridiculously large refund back because I just could not do the math correctly.
And you used to work for some sort of financial.
I know. Well, yeah, but I did IT stuff, so I mean, I was told told there would be no math. Yes, it did. But still, to this date, it still goes towards next year's taxes. It's just that it's more accurate now.
I use an accountant. I did not enjoy tax season.
the bad thing about using the thing that is a lie about getting an accountant is you still have to pull all the information together.
Yeah, I gather all that.
Which is it's not the worst part, but it's definitely a lousy part of it.
I have gotten good in the last decade at being proactive about that and throughout the year just keeping track of everything. And so there is still work at the end of the year because you got to get all your files from your forms from everybody and centralize them and whatever. But I just have a spreadsheet or whatever of all my expenses and income, and I just make sure it all trues up and then send it in. So it feels a lot less stressful, because people send out I'll get clients will get in touch with me and be like, okay, we're going to send you a 1099 and it's for X amount. And I have numerous times ended up being a few cents off, and I have to go track down okay, where did I mistype a decimal point or something?
He's done it with me. Done it with me. It's true. Last year we were off by a couple cents. Here's the Lex Friedman process, and this is 100% true. Any tax forms that come at any point, any tax paper that comes, those envelopes go unopened on top of a china cabinet in my dining room.
If you're looking for them,
duplicatable.
If you break into Lex's house and you're looking for his tax return,
in early January, I take them all and open them and put them all into the ScanSnap and scan them, and then I put them all in a Dropbox folder that I share with my accountant, And then I have a different accountant for the business who, you know, actually does the bookkeeping, really. And then I can send that report of here's all my expenses and stuff.
You get a day accountant and a night accountant?
Exactly. Wow. And then the only other thing I do is this. I forward all of my receipts, my donation receipts. Oh, dude, I had to have a bookkeeper because I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. Like, I'm very willing to pay for things where I don't understand them at all. And so I pay an old friend of mine.
I've got a great spreadsheet for you.
I use Xero. Also,
it's got your numbers in it. That's useless.
That's true. I mean, I used to distribute a template on Six Colors that I basically made for the business, and it's evolved over the last decade. But it's pretty good these days in terms of how it works. But I do wish it, there are still a few features I wish Numbers had. I do it all in Numbers, and I wish there were a few features that I had that would make life easier. I need to, I have all my scans, Lex, I scan everything through the ScanSnap, and then it lives in, you know, a folder in iCloud. But I have to then upload it to the website for my accountant because they use their own website for it. But other than that, pretty similar.
Yeah. She doesn't have I wish she did have a website. So I have to zip it up. And then we do this thing where, you know, email it. And then I have to figure out how to get her the password. And, you know, it's just.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. She needs to find herself a, you know, secure platform or something.
We have a trio of questions from Impugnacious. The first is, as technology companies gobble up more of our digital lives, are you trying to diversify more or still valuing the benefits of all in participation?
That's a good question. And it's one of those things that maybe I think a couple of years ago I would have been like, oh yeah, I'm all in on Apple with no question and no hesitation. And the answer is probably still I am, but I feel less good about it, I think, than I did a couple of years ago.
Mm.
Like, it's convenient. And from a user standpoint, I am very happy with it. But there are definitely places where I feel a little more annoyed at the idea of having everything through one
system.
Company. I'm more uncomfortable with it in the last couple of years as things have gotten more and more consolidated. It is frustrating to feel like
one thing breaks
and a huge part of my experience dies.
Yeah. And I would say that actually the whole Twitter debacle and then moving to Mastodon has made me appreciate open systems that, you know, even though Mastodon has a lot of warts, it's nice that I'm not worried about somebody acquiring it and putting it behind a paywall or making it lousy with ads or whatever.
You made me think of something here, John, that I was thinking about the other day with this, which is this idea. Lots of people online, where every once in a while, every 6 months to a year, I see people lament the death of Google Reader. And I get it. I used a Google Reader and it was probably the most consumer focused and prominent RSS reader. But every time I see people being sad about it, I'm like, you guys know RSS still exists, right? Like, just go download yourself an RSS reader. It's the same thing. And they're like, nah, nobody's ever made it as good as Google Reader. That was the best. It also wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It was fine, but that whole technology still exists. But it's just what you said is it's the fact that any degree of having to do it yourself makes it so much more challenging.
Yeah.
Even though the system is more robust by the fact that it's RSS and anybody can use it. You can have any app you want. But people then have to do the work for themselves. And it's not like Google just spoon feeding you here's our web-based RSS reader, go nuts. So yeah, I get a little frustrated every time and also just want to shake all those people and be it's fine. You can go get the RSS reader.
Right.
Yeah, I never was a Google Reader person, so that's one that didn't kill me, although I know it killed a lot of people. I don't know. I don't like that I pay for Apple One because I think Apple One is, they're going to just raise the price every year, and I don't think I get enough value out of it.
But breaking it apart is oh my God.
Right,
the thought of doing that is...
Yeah, and so it's brilliant on their part.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible.
But I don't know.
It's the same thing with Prime for me, too.
Yeah.
Right. I'm grateful for one aspect, which is that I think Spotify is probably the best of all the music streamers technologically and in terms of music algorithm and recommendations. But I hate them, so I don't use them. So I'm grateful that both Amazon and Apple have music services that I can use instead.
Yeah.
Because I don't hate them the same way I hate Spotify. So I don't know. I'm not actively trying to diversify, but I think about it all the time. I think about, am I too all in with anybody? And the answer is, yeah, I'm too all in with all of them except Spotify. Impugnacious wants to know if any of us file our taxes with pen and paper. I'm ready to say no.
No.
Yet.
Impugnacia says, is Apple requiring Apple Music to share play during CarPlay reasonable, or should they open it up to other services, Overcast, Spotify, etc.?
This is a good question, because
the federal government.
Well, honestly, the feature I want the most, speaking of like consolidation, is actually not even a third party music feature. It's podcasts. Like, the podcast app doesn't support this. And I get it. There are potentially some issues with, like, you know, DAI and stuff like that in terms of, like, you know, so dynamic ads and whatever in terms of being able to share stuff because of the way that SharePlay works, is my understanding, because I did ask about this at some point. But I think those problems are surmountable. I mean, if you look what they're doing with the transcript stuff, like, they have figured out how to isolate ads and stuff. So part of me feels like that is a problem they could fix. But, like, it happens with us a lot on road trips where, like, one of us has the phone connected and the other one's like, oh, we want to listen to this podcast, but, like, we're not subscribed to it. So we have to either use the other person's phone. It's like, oh, why can't we just do the SharePlay here? So I think they should open it up to third parties and to the rest of the first party apps.
Well, this dovetails with the thing I was excited to bring up and then forgot, so now I will, which is that I'm here to say, I hate saying it, but I'm here to say Dan was right.
What? What?
I
hold on. Can I do we have banners? Do we have a little sound?
So a week ago, I had to drive to Philly. I was driving to my brother-in-law's house, and he mentioned, hey, don't use Google Maps, use Apple Maps. Because Google doesn't take you to my house. And I, you know, had been thinking for a long time about getting a third-party CarPlay head unit for my car. And so I did. And because Amazon had a Lightning deal when I went to look, and it was the one that I always look at, and it was $80. And I was like, all right, I'll pay $80
for this. Which one was it?
Thing. I don't even know.
Oh, it's, my God.
If you tell me the name, I'll tell you, but I'll look it up.
If I tell you the name, you'll tell me.
I'll tell you if that's the one.
Don't.
If you know a brand. It was specifically CarFlix, like Netflix with a car.
You'll be hearing from my lawyers. 10.26
inch CarPlay screen. And you know, I have some annoyances that I will also complain about, but I was very impressed with Apple Maps. I was very impressed. I really appreciated, because, you know, my past two cars have had built-in Google Maps integration, and it's not the Google Maps app, it's their own version using Google's traffic and data. But both of them, and I don't know if maybe Google Maps does this too, but like neither of them would ever say to me like, hey, you know, go past this traffic light and then at the next traffic light turn right. But Apple Maps was very fond of telling me messages like that, and I really liked it, because sometimes you're looking at the map, you're like, is it this one or the next one? But like when it's telling you go past this traffic light and then turn right at the next one, or when it's telling you a thing that my car also says, like my car will show on the screen be in the right lane, but when it's telling me I don't even have to look, like, hey, be in the second from the right lane or whatever, I really thought that was impressive. So I liked all of those things. I was very impressed with CarPlay, specifically with Apple Maps.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like, we're still kind of a split household in that, like, my wife will still insist on Google Maps, and I generally use Apple Maps unless there is some... I do think Google Maps traffic stuff is still a bit better, but Apple Maps is pretty good. I use it most days, and I find it pretty accurate.
I use it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I was impressed. I don't leave the house that much.
Well, now, you know, because my car has its own giant screen, and then I get
yeah,
in the
that
car,
is a big
I
screen. See,
CarPlay.
I couldn't use that in my car.
Well, now I have two screens, right? Because I have my car's own screen,
right,
and then this screen.
Yeah,
and it's a little bit nutty.
Also, I can't stand our logo. But
yo, dog, I hear you like screens.
My biggest complaint right now is I get phone calls in my home office, and sometimes the CarPlay guy in the car that's in the garage that's opposite my wall wakes up, and it's like, oh, let me steal that call from you, even though the car isn't on. And I don't know what I'm going to do about it, because it's a problem. And like, there's no super easy way to very quickly get the call back, because like, I have to turn on Wi-Fi because CarPlay uses Wi-Fi, or I have to turn off. It's like, it's a giant pain. So I don't have an answer for that part yet. And it doesn't always happen, so I haven't solved the problem yet. It is. I am going to lose all my clients, though, when they get annoyed that they're yelling at me and I can't hear them because the screams are going to my car.
Solve some sort of problem.
Yeah. I hope that answers your question, Impugnacious, which it did not. Josh says, are people still listening in expecting to get reasonable technological discussions from you three gents? And I'm going to be honest, you guys. When I saw this question, at first I was miffed.
Yes,
right? I was like, really, Josh? You're paying us? But... I think Josh is a paying subscriber who loves us, and I think his question is this a technology podcast or a comedy podcast? I think the answer is yes. I think this question
is a little bit of both. I mean, that's what I would say. That is a deliberate.
It varies week by week too, yeah, right?
Exactly.
I mean, week by week, it varies depending on the composition of who's on this week. Also changes sometimes. You know, sometimes we have somebody on.
It's also based on what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when there's new iPads, eventually, I'm sure we'll talk about that for at least 5 minutes.
Maybe
six. I don't know.
ZM Knox has a trio of questions. Here's it's true. ZM Knox does, but we're not there yet. Jeeber's question is: whom among you? I'm pretty sure it's a bad whom, Jeeber, but whom among you can still write in readable cursive?
I like the use of the word "still here," which feels very optimistic, I guess. Which is to say, I'm not sure my cursive has ever been particularly readable.
That's yeah.
So I think it's at the same level, but it's a lot harder. I don't know. I just find.
Yeah, I think it's harder. Harder to do, but it's basically the same. And my handwriting is not great. But
my handwriting's always been bad.
My Japanese handwriting is very good. I'll say that.
Oh,
that's nice. Because I have to go slow. And when I go slow, my handwriting is decent. But English is I go very fast.
I used to have to write I used to be able to write in both English cursive and Russian cursive because they taught us that Russian class. And if you've ever looked at Russian cursive, every once in a while, there's a post that will pop up being like, Russian cursive is insane because like all the letters look the same and go together. And so it's like, here's a word. And it just looks like a bunch of U's strung together.
Yeah. But
it is, I can 100% vouch for that. It is very, very weird unless you are actually somebody who has spent a lot of time studying it. And even now, I don't think I could do it now, but I used to know it.
I'd say that my Hebrew cursive and English cursive are equally messy and always have been. When I handwrite, I write in small caps, my lowercase letters are.
Oh, do you really? My brother does
messy,
that,
but my capital letters are really good. Like my capital print handwriting is really neat.
When I address envelopes every once in a while, I do the small caps thing, and I'm like always amazed at how much better it looks and less childlike than when I do it with like lowercase letters.
I sent you guys a little bit of my own handwriting, and it's not good. It's not good.
No, it's fancy. It's nice.
Oh, that's,
it's,
you know, that's, I mean, very it's, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
I
the
disagree.
T in two became a star. Like, I don't know exactly what happened with that T. I wish all my T's looked like that.
I think your Y looks that's incredible.
Cool. Yeah,
that's a great Y.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Miser in sixth grade taught me everything I knew about grammar, and he was also the handwriting guy, and he would be very unhappy with all of it because his handwriting was impeccable and mine is definitely not.
I was trying to find a piece of paper to write something on and I don't even have one of those handy.
Oh man.
So let's see what else we got. ZM Knox, question number one, now a four. Dan, why did you change your Apple ID?
So I didn't. This is in reference to a post I made on Mastodon about how I was so annoyed at this dialog box on the Apple ID site, which was requesting to change an email. And the answer was not that I'm changing my own email, but in a thing that I plan on venting about at some point, I was trying to create a child Apple account for my kid. And I ran into a ton of issues. Like, I was trying to create it on my phone and I would get through the entire process and I would just get an error saying your account could not be created. And I did this, must have done this 3 or 4 times. And this was after wrestling with the password dialog box, where it won't let you use iCloud Keychain to generate a password. And I tried pasting a password in, and it just, there was some glitch where it wouldn't paste in the field, and it just kept failing over and over again. I was getting so angry, so I tried to do it on my Mac, and I finally got through after an error there, too, and then realized I had made it with the wrong... It hadn't given me an opportunity to put in a different email address than the one it automatically generated.
Yeah.
So then I had to figure out how to go change it, in which you can do, but you have to log in with that one, and then change it and it sends a request to the family organizer, who is me. But like, for some reason, despite the fact that like the verification codes, when it would like send an email to that account and ask you to like give the pin back, those were like instantaneous. The authorization one took 10 minutes or something. And so like, I'm sitting around waiting and it didn't come through. And it's like, oh, this is so annoying. Like, I keep checking my email, check my junk folder. It's like, there's no authorization. It's like, all right, maybe it didn't go through. So I finally canceled it and then put in another one. And then I got an authorization email and I clicked through and it's like, that token is invalid. And I realized it must be from the first time I changed it.
Oh my God.
So then I was like, you know what? I just got to sit here
and wait for
10 minutes
again.
Patiently. So annoyed. And I did eventually get it to work. But I did find that dialog box perplexing because it has two cancel buttons, one of which is just cancel, one of which is cancel pending request, and it has a close button in the top left, and I don't know what to click there for a second. It's like I just got scared and closed the window. It's not the right answer, but like I just don't understand, like, because there's not really, you're not really canceling out of the dialog box, because the thing you're doing is like the task you're doing has been completed, right? Like having a cancel button there does not make any sense to me. It should be like a done button or something like that. You can still have the cancel pending request. And also, I believe the cancel pending request is the default, which doesn't make any sense because you just went through a whole bunch of positive steps to do this thing. Why would the default be undo all of that? That makes no fucking sense. So I found that entirely perplexing and just decided I wanted to vent about it.
It reminds me a tiny, tiny bit of a thing I run into in Safari. I don't know how often you go in to edit the URL in Safari, like from a site you're already on. I do it almost every day when I'm checking my next day's puzzle. And Safari is very finicky about
the autocomplete.
Tapping into it. Well, no, just tapping into it. It's like you'll tap in and then you try to go to the right side. And half the time it's like, oh, you must want that microphone or the X. Even if you're not tapping anywhere near there, like it's trying to be helpful.
You mean on iOS.
And failing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you tap to the far right and it's like, oh, let me just zero out the entire URL for you. I'm like, no, that's not useful. And then there's no way to get it back other than closing the whole thing. And it's so annoying. Yep. And I hate it. That's what that reminded me of, just so you know. ZM Knox also wants to know, Lex, are you worried about the new competition from Apple News? Speaking of my games. Apple in 17.5 has another game in the news app. And obviously, I'm a person who likes word games. I don't like Apple's implementations of word games.
Their crossword interface sucks.
Is janky. And I said there's a person with my own janky crossword interface. I think mine is now better than theirs. Dan's not sure. But
it's gotten better. I haven't used the Apple one in a while, but if it hasn't changed, then yours is definitely better now.
Yeah, I made some improvements just this week. But they have a new game that's a little bit like my game, Lexicogs, which is a lot like a game called Seven Little Words, which I acknowledge on my own site. It's also a little bit like Connections. I think that it's a rising tide thing. If people get more into word games, they'll get more into word games. And I don't think anybody's playing Apple's games. So I'm not worried about it yet. Chris CK says, should I listen to the live stream today or listen to the bootleg on my drive home? Yes.
And yes, listen to both.
Spall asks, should ZM Knox ask if they should install the new Vision OS beta?
Yes, always.
Yes, always.
Every install episode, the beta.
Always ask.
What could go wrong?
ZM Knox asks, let the record show I didn't ask the immediate past question. That's not a question. Holger asks, speaking of merch, are we getting some special
WWDC
outfits here?
No one's under oath here, okay?
Are we offering special WWDC outfits?
Maybe like tracksuits? Should we get tracksuits?
Oh, basically, it's Molt's making new merch to offer so people can proudly sport their Rebound.
I should probably do that.
I don't know what it would be, though. Do we have a good...
I'll try to try.
Yeah, Molt will try to try.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yitz wants to know, what are your procrastination go-tos? Let's assume listening to the live stream of your favorite podcast is off the table. I can't listen to my favorite podcast live because they talk too slow.
I do listen to podcasts live on occasion, although I get frustrated because I want to then be in the, like, I want to be in the chat room then, I think, because I want to be able to interact live. And if I can't,
maybe
be,
you can
then
settle
I just get frustrated.
Maybe you can settle a problem for me, Dan.
Sure.
On Sunday afternoons when Tony is building Lego, where am I supposed to chat?
Oh, good question.
In YouTube or in the Discord?
I think either is fine. I think the YouTube chat tends to be a little more active.
Yeah, I think it is probably.
Member Discord?
I never sign into YouTube because I don't want them bothering me.
Yeah, that's fair. It's totally fair. I mean, like, I tend to, if we're doing something like that, I tend to keep an eye on the member Discord too. Same with like Total Party Kill stuff. Like I try to keep an
eye
on
that. Hasn't been
places.
My experience.
I try. I didn't say I do or I succeed. Maybe you just weren't saying anything very interesting.
Oh,
maybe
I'm sure.
Maybe you're the problem.
Fine. Anyway, so that is one that I've occasionally watched live because it's just like, you know, Sunday afternoon, we're not doing anything anyway, and it's a, you know, it's relaxing.
Yeah, it is relaxing. Procrastination go-tos. I mean, watching TV, playing video games.
Yeah.
I mean, all the things I like to do. If I'm procrastinating, it's putting off something I don't want to do. So instead, I will do something I do want to do. Although I also, come to think of it, I also do chores. Like I empty the dishwasher.
I lately have been cleaning the basement. I mean, our basement over, you know, we've lived here for about 20 years, spotless. Almost 20 years, and it is a disaster. Never get a basement is my advice to anybody.
Yeah, they do suck.
And it's just going through stuff and like, don't need this, don't need this, don't need, you know, keep that is kind of fun. And
If I'm doing chores, I'm always also either listening to a podcast or watching a show. Like, I can't fold my laundry or unload or load the dishwasher without something to entertain me, because that's the only way I can get through the task that makes me grumpy.
I watch TV if I'm folding laundry. That's
I try and watch TV and make dinner, and it drives Karen absolutely bananas because it takes me like 3 hours to make dinner.
Oh, I could not do that. I can't do that. That's too much. I got to be focusing on I'll listen to a podcast while I'm making dinner, but or listen to music or the news or something, but I will not watch anything. I tried that the other day, and like, I'm lucky I have all my fingers still, I guess.
I mean, I love TV, but right now my top procrastination things are working on games, working on the website, or making new versions of those, like making new editions of the puzzles, or now working on the app.
That is technically something you're getting paid for.
So yeah, but really, I'm doing it for fun. I'm doing it for fun, okay. And then it happens that people are paying me.
Same with the t-shirts for me. I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I just enjoy doing malts. I mean, I just enjoy... Anyway.
Be the title?
I didn't even write it down. Thank you. Finally, ZMNOX wants to know, how do you handwrite the number 4? And the answer is, I'm a switch hitter when it comes to 4. I do both the triangle and the upside down H.
I think I only ever do the upside down H.
I do the upside down H. I apparently make my zeros backwards from everybody else. I can't even remember which way I do it, but somebody was watching me write and was like, wait, what did you just do?
I do my cursive circle letters wrong. I do them the wrong direction, so I always have to overlap. So I know exactly what you mean. And Mr. Miser especially hates that my fives are S's. And it is still true to this day, and I tried to fix it, but my handwritten fives are S's.
Let me ask you a quick trio of questions that are related. If you write the number 1, does it have a little thing on the serif?
No.
Yeah, typically no, unless I am concerned about it being mistaken for an L.
If it's going to have a serif, it's going to have a serif on the top and bottom.
Okay. Like
it's going to have the little triangle.
I would say 9 times out of 10 it will for me, too. Yeah.
Okay. Sevens. Crossbar?
Almost never cross unless it's a very messy 7.
I've really
are the same person.
I've done those almost all the same. I almost always do crossbar 7s now because I'm just too worried about them being mistaken for something else.
Yeah.
Zeros? You go with a slash or no?
No, I'm not a monster.
Yeah, really.
I do all of these things now because I have had so many like worries about getting like, especially I write a lot of envelopes when I used to be like sending out book plates and stuff like that. And I would always try to make them as clear as possible by like every single like thing that differentiated to make it clear. Like that's a 7, not a 1, or that's a 0, not an O, or whatever. I'm not sure it's necessary, but I've totally got myself in the habit now and I can't stop help.
Hey, if it's working for you, it works for me. I shared in Discord my 5, which is so S-like, I'm angry that I pasted it, and a 7 and my serif-y 1.
Wow.
And it's really, I think my 1s are split evenly.
That is crazy. I don't write the 5 with the correct stroke.
Wait, that's
order.
A 5? Right.
Everybody leave me alone. I'm trying hard.
Yeah.
If I try really hard, I can do it, but typically my 5s don't look good. I can make a good 5.
I mean, you're supposed to make the, you know, the, what is
the
it?
The top is supposed to be straight. Like, that's the thing, I think.
What's that accent that goes in the bottom of C's in French? You're supposed to do that part first.
A cedilla?
Yeah.
What?
You're supposed to do that part first. Then the bar across the top.
Oh, but, so I think the part of the issue is, like, isn't there supposed to be a like a right angle. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Like I think that's fundamentally what I'm talking about is like when you do like the top part, it like goes over and then down and there's like a right angle there. I'm trying to share a picture,
I'm sending you a better 5 that's still not great, but is at least a better 5. I'm sending this is what you miss out by not being a
parent.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, gosh.
We're just texting each other pictures of our handwriting. This will never be used against us in any way, I'm sure.
I'm Dan's texting. Mine's in Discord.
I'm trying to do that, but I can't figure out I don't have a thing. I don't know. How are you getting into Discord?
From the phone.
That's smarter than what I've been
doing.
I
don't have like a... This paper has lines, and it's impossible.
This is going to be really good when one of our members forges all our handwriting, steal all our money, and then buys a Vision Pro with it, the bastards.
Yeah. But if you're going to impersonate one of us, I would go with Malt.
Yeah, I mean,
his is the social I'm waiting for.